This week saw the release of the first post-COVID super blockbuster movie, the sequel to the 2009 movie Avatar, which is still the highest grossing movie at the box office of all time, taking in some $2.9 billion. I saw the movie on the opening day in 3D, as you do. So Avatar, The Way of Water, runs for just over 3.5 hours with all of the ads and the trailers at the beginning. So it's a pretty serious commitment. Director James Cameron has pulled out all stops, and the visual effects, especially in the underwater sequences, are pretty spectacular and a real treat. What's interesting in the movie is the basic premise. Avatars are a graphical representation of a user or the user's character or the persona. They can be projected, they can be a projection of our imagined self into a video game or on social media. In the films, human beings are able to generate projected avatars of themselves and then implant them into the bodies of the local Na'vi on the alien moon of Pandora. It seems that humans are only really a collection of thoughts and memories, and once we extract these, we can drop those thoughts and memories into any other body and then make it our own. And even though the bad guy dies at the end of the first movie, they can just create a new reality from save files and drop that into a new Na'vi avatar. The really sad thing about this idea is that so many Christians kind of think along much the same lines. We say it's the soul that really matters, and our bodies, and indeed this whole world, are not that significant, so we can trash and abuse either or both of them. Although both films attempt to drive a strong environmental message about not exploiting nature or the ecosystem, there's not the same commitment to the dignity and integrity of the body, which is why the Christmas Gospels continue to need to be heard. The birth of Jesus to a frail and humble human being in Mary of Bethlehem is essential to our story. God could have chosen to create Jesus as an adult or download the divinity of Jesus into a willing human avatar, but he didn't. God chose to be conceived in the womb of an ordinary person in a pretty extraordinary way, for the virgin is with child. Every part and every aspect of Jesus from the moment of his conception was fully human and fully divine. He didn't have a divine soul or a divine mind or a divine heart in a human body. Like all of us, he had perfect integrity and a complete unity of both body and spirit, or body and soul. And that continued as he grew up and experienced all the ordinary things in life. Remember the story of the creation of the first human being, the Adam, in Genesis 2? The Lord God fashions first the physical reality from the clay of the earth and then breathes life into that body. He doesn't create a soul first and then drop that into a human avatar. The physical reality is first because the body matters. We matter. Paul reminds us of this in the introduction to Romans that we read today, when he tells us that in the flesh, Jesus was a descendant of David, and in the spirit, he was designated as the Son of God. The gospel today also reminds us that our decisions matter. Joseph and Mary are already legally married as husband and wife, but they don't yet live together. The Jewish custom of the time was that for the first year or so, the couple lived separately with their respective parents during their betrothal. This gave the man time to build or extend his house and get things ready. Often the girl was still quite young, and so this year or so gave her time to prepare before the marriage was formally consummated at the wedding. So Joseph and Mary are not in an engagement. It's a serious commitment that can only be broken either by death or, in the case of infidelity, it requires a formal decree of divorce. Matthew tells the story from the perspective of Joseph. Discovering that Mary was pregnant left Joseph in an awful position, torn between his love of and duty to both Torah and to Mary. We're told that he is a just man. And so, despite all the risks and the dangers, he does all that he can to protect Mary while honoring the Torah as best as he can by staying true to the marriage and adopting the child into his family. Paul reminds us that we too have been called into the family of God and have received the same invitation to live in obedience to God's love. But how do we do this? Well, we can't do it alone. But the God who was born in the womb of Mary is the with us God, Emmanuel. That is why we are called to be saints, because we do it in the grace and peace of the Lord. He does all the work of saving us and redeeming us, and we do our work by simply saying yes and letting God transform us in his love. So let us pray. God, as we move into this final week of Advent, as we open ourselves to that grace, let us rejoice that you have created us in the complexity and completeness of who we are, body and soul, spirit, mind and strength, to be yours, to be dedicated to you. Lord, help us as we stumble and bumble our way along. Help us to rejoice that you have saved us. You have already done all of the heavy work. You've already done everything that is necessary for our redemption, and indeed for us to be called and named as saints. Allow us to experience your grace and your presence. Allow us to continue to open ourselves to you. Help us to let go of all the things that separate us from you, and help us to be one with you, to be righteous and just, and to surrender our plans and our wills into your purpose, that we might indeed be more truly your people and bear that name of being called to be saints as we follow you, as we dedicate ourselves to you, as we continue to surrender to you during this time. We ask this through Christ our Lord.